a science story.
Is NYU scientist the...
I felt it. I was so happy. I figured it out.
It was that golden moment.
Because science was on my side.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Lilly, and welcome to The Story Collider, where we bring you true personal stories about science. This week's story is from Jeff Spahr. It was recorded in March 2016 at AS220 in Providence, Rhode Island, as part of Brain Week Rhode Island.
Everybody's got a story, and sometimes you can't make up the story that becomes life. And I think that's my case for sure. You know, I grew up here in Providence, went to school at Moses Brown, right around the corner, was a very good athlete, was recruited by Ohio State, and went there on a tennis scholarship where I was captain of the tennis team and started for 4 years and had a really successful career. Towards the tail end of my career, it sounds kind of crazy, but and silly, but I got a case of jock itch. You know, that is pretty funny. And for most people, that would be no big deal. I was an athlete. You know, you put a little cream on it, it disappears, it's gone. But unfortunately for me, that was the beginning of a terrible downward spiral that would get out of control for me. I became totally consumed with it. And having a rash, and it got to the point where I was wearing different underwear, and I'd be using different powders and different creams. And, not only was it affecting probably my athletic career, but it got to the point where it was affecting my life in college. I graduated Ohio State, came back to Rhode Island. My family had a large textile company, and I went to work for the company. And, by the time I was 23... I looked like I had, the world at my feet. But as I like to tell people, mental illness is invisible and misunderstood, which is a tough combination. Because what was happening to me, I was the same guy that was at the department store, unbeknownst to anybody, trying on different underwear and different powders. And it got to the point, to be quite honest with you, I thought I was going crazy. And but I like to think I had the courage, and I found my way to to Butler Hospital, and I was diagnosed with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and for the last 30 years now, I've fought a debilitating illness that tries to rob me every day of my life. For those of you that aren't familiar with OCD, it's characterized by recurrent and unwanted and unpleasant thoughts that come to your mind. They take on tremendous levels of anxiety that are almost hard to explain. As I travel and speak, one of the things that people most often want to know is, what's that like, Jeff? Well, the best way that I found to describe it would be like this. Picture, if you will, you're with your, 2 or 3 year old son or daughter in a busy airport like O'Hare. And you turn around for a minute. And then you come back, and there's no kid. I think everybody here can understand that at some type of level. Well, for someone like myself, I have that same anxiety over something that is completely ludicrous. And if that's not bad enough, what it forces you to do, it forces you to do compulsions to lower that level of anxiety. And for me, that was, as you heard, checking and looking in different underwear. But I didn't come here tonight for you to feel bad for me. That's not my gig here. I came here simply to tell you I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm one of the lucky ones because I got diagnosed. And with that came an incredible life. I've got 3 beautiful kids, a beautiful wife that's here tonight, and a life that all looks, great on the outside. But, meanwhile, I'm fighting like hell. But through medication, a loving family and network, and exposure therapy, painful exposure therapy that I had to do to try to tackle some of my demons. Imagine, if you will, how ludicrous this sounds. I would wear underwear, backwards, sideways, inside out, five sizes too big. I mean, crazy, right? But it was all facing my greatest fear and trying to inoculate, you know, myself from what I was scared of. But all the time, you know, this is something you live with. It doesn't go away. There's no magic pill here. It's something I have to work with every day. But I was always looking for that magic pill, and it don't exist. But in this case, you know, here's my story gets kind of crazy. I'm coming home from work one day about 20 years ago. And somebody says to me, "Hey, Jeff, why don't you try painting? I hear that might be good for you." I never painted a goddamn day in my life. Right? But when you're desperate, you'll try anything. So I quickly rerouted to the supply store and came home and to my apartment and took out the paints and started painting. And I'm sure you've all seen Forrest Gump and how he ran. Well, you're looking at the Forrest Gump of painting. And it would change the course of my life. You know, to be honest with you, when I first started, I sucked. But for some reason, I found that it gave me, you know, a sense of control that my illness robbed me of. It also, I found that it was invigorating to my soul. And what started out as a canoe and a landscape quickly became paintings like Half Daddy and Stop the Madness and other paintings that were able to communicate perhaps what I couldn't say in words, but I could say in images. And that, in turn, led to yet another very unlikely career as an artist, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, I think people connected to my story, my openness, my whimsical style, my use of titles, and my work found its way into some private collections, the galleries, a casino even made its way to the Grammys, as crazy as that sounds. And, you know, it got to the point where, you know, people wanted to actually, you know, buy my artwork for a bunch of money. And I actually, to be honest with you, I just give it to them and enter my cousin Matt, who's here tonight. You know, Matt, they tried to explain to me that that was not a great business proposition for my art career. Thank you, Matthew. So Matt, he wasn't bashful. He offered to be my agent. Again, sounds pretty ridiculous, right? Well, he wasn't bashful. Two months later, he had a one-man show for me. Again, like I'm on Broadway, right? One-man show. So we have this show, and he comes up to me at the end of the night, and he's all excited. And he says, "God, you're not going to believe this." He says, I said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Dude," he says, "we sold $16,000 of art tonight." And I said, "Holy crap." And he says, "What do you want to do with the money?" Well, there's a lot of stuff I could do with $16,000. So I didn't initially have the answer. And then I stopped, and I did get hit by that lightning bolt, that moment that would change the course of my life. And I looked at Matt, and I said to him, "You know, I paint." I said, "It makes me feel good." I said, "Maybe it'll help somebody else." That's it. 2 weeks later, I show up on a children's psych unit at Butler Hospital, a hospital that not only was I a board member of, but I was a patient. And I walked on that unit, and I had a bag over my shoulder of art supplies and canvases and brushes and paints. I looked like a cross between Santa Claus and a robber, you know. And I got on that unit, and I quickly deduced that this was going to be a challenge because I wasn't a doctor. I wasn't an art therapist. I was basically just a nobody, you know, just a guy that wanted to try to help. So I did the only thing that I was probably qualified to do. I told these kids my story, tried to add maybe a little humor and hope to a very difficult set of circumstances there. And I stumbled on this whole thing, guys. You know, right from the beginning, I saw the impact that it was having on the children. It was having on their parents. It was having on the docs, the therapist. And I remember one of the early days I was teaching a class, and I like to shake every kid's hand when they walk in. And I stuck my hand out, and this one kid goes flying by me. And the docs and the therapist came up to me, and they said, they apologized. They said, you know, Brandon hears voices. Well, you know, I started the class, and it went on for 5-10 minutes, and Brandon comes back in. It was almost like an awakening. It was really weird. And he started to paint and get engaged. And I love to have fun with the kids. I always pick one, and Brandon was going to be my guy that day. When I went up to him and I looked at him, I said, you're good, man. I said, they always bring somebody in from the art academy to make me look bad. You're the guy. And he looks at me, he says, no. He says, no, I'm not from the art academy. He says, I'm mentally ill. And I stopped, and I looked him in the eyes, and I said to him, so am I. Well, as if that couldn't get any more emotional, Brandon finished his painting, and he got it and brought it over to my wife, Jen, because he wanted it to hang in the studio next to mine. Well, I went, you know, to my car that night, and I cry all the time after seeing this kind of stuff, just like any I think of you would, but this time it was a different cry. I cried because I knew I had stumbled on something that was part motivational, part inspirational, part you can do it, all wrapped into this message of hope. And I left, and I dreamed that, you know, someday that, you know, maybe we might be able to develop something that could help millions of other people just like me create a little peace of mind. Thank you.
That was Jeff Sparr. Peace Love co-founder Jeff is a man on an audacious mission, a mission to make mental health illness cool. Not cool to have, but cool to support. A family man, mental health advocate, teacher, and self-taught artist, Jeff is above all a survivor, battling obsessive-compulsive disorder much of his life. Inspired by a simple, powerful image signifying peace of mind and love for yourself, Sparr set out to build the first symbol for mental health and bring expressive arts to millions of people to help them create peace of mind. The Story Collider is produced by me, Brian Wecht, Aaron Barker, Ari Daniel, Christine Gentry, Skylar Bear, Shane Hanlon, Rosie Waldron, and Liz Neely. The podcast is produced by Rose Aboleth. Additional from Brooke Williams, Lena Groger, and Justin D'Ambrosio. The theme music is by Ghost. Special thanks to AS220 for hosting the show, to Brainwake Rhode Island for being amazing partners, and to Anxiety. No, wait. No thank you to Anxiety. Screw Anxiety. Thanks for listening.